Testing, one, two, three. It's Tuesday, May 26th, 2:15, regular city council meeting.
I'd like to welcome everyone tonight. It's the May 26th regular fellow city council meeting. Would you all please rise? Angel Garza will lead us in a short prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance.
Dear Lord, we come before you this evening, Lord, giving you thanks for all the blessings you have poured upon us, upon the city, Lord, and the love that you have for us, Lord. Now we ask you, Lord, to give us a wisdom, Lord, to tend to the business of the city, Lord. We honor you, we glorify you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You may be seated. I'd like to move to item 1.3, roll call. I see that the entire city council is present tonight, so we will move on to item 1.4, citizen input. This is the segment of the Othello City Council meeting where citizens are encouraged to give input to the city council. You have up to 5 minutes to address the city. If you would, please raise your hand. I'll recognize you, and then you can come to the microphone, state your name and address for the record, and we will hear your testimony. So is there anyone here tonight present who wishes to address the Othello City Council? Okay. Moving on to item 2, approval of agenda. This time I entertain a motion to approve tonight's agenda.
Make that motion.
Second.
We have a motion made and seconded to approve tonight's agenda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Next item is our item 3, a consent agenda. This time I'd entertain a motion to approve tonight's consent agenda.
Make that motion.
Second. A motion made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Moving down to item 4.1, oath of office, police officer Anthony Hayden. At this time, I'd like to invite Officer Hayden and his wife to come forward. The City of Othello is privileged to have a new officer come upon the force. So I will read a short biography of Officer Dwayne Hayden, who joined the Marine Corps after he graduated from Abilene High School in Texas. After the Marine Corps, he began his law enforcement career in 1994 as a Department of Defense dispatcher, and he has served as a Department of Defense police officer, a patrol deputy for Coulombe County, and a police officer for Montesano, Emma, and most recently, Soak Lake Police Department, before coming to Othello this month. He brings to the department a vast amount of training and experience. Dwayne is married and has 3 children, ages 27 to 18. So at this time, as the mayor of the city of Othello, Dwayne, I would like to administer the oath of office to become a police officer for the city of Othello. Okay? So if you would you please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States,
that I will support the Constitution of the United States,
and the Constitution and laws of the state of Washington,
and the Constitution and laws of the state of Washington,
and the charter and ordinances of the city of Othello, Washington,
the charter and ordinances of the city
and abide by the law enforcement code of ethics,
and abide by the law enforcement code of ethics,
as adopted by the Othello Police Department,
as adopted by the Othello Police Department,
that I will faithfully and honestly,
that I will faithfully and honestly,
and impartially perform,
and impartially perform,
and discharge the duties of a police officer,
discharge the duties of a police officer,
during my continuance as such,
during my continuance as such,
so help me God,
so help me God.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. After I'm going to invite the police chief to he has a partial ceremony of a pinning ceremony with the new pin, And then I'd like to give you a few minutes to speak and address the city council and anyone here. So, okay?
Thank you, sir. Dwayne is filling the last vacancy that we have with our department. I think this is the first time since I've started that we've actually been fully staffed. The two officers finishing the academy this week on Thursday, they graduate. And at that point, I think we're going to be able to really start making a good difference. With that, one of the things that you've noticed or that everybody should notice is Dwayne standing here, he does not have a badge on. His wife has his badge. So at this point, and this is a pretty long tradition, I think it's probably not the first time that Dwayne's ever been pinned, I asked Chris not to draw blood, but she is his wife, so that's her choice. Thank you.
If you'd like to address the council and the audience.
Well, I'd like to say thank you for the opportunity. I'm honored to be part of this team. I look forward to experiencing the culture and the community and getting involved with the community. I'm really excited to be here, and I look forward to having a long career.
Very good. Thank you very much, Chris. Dwayne. I'm going to sign this. If you could sign. Yeah, thank you, Dwayne. Yes.
One of the questions that I asked Dwayne to be prepared to answer, I've usually heard from council, and that is, do you plan on living here? So he did have an answer for that, and he has been looking for a house.
Thank you, Chief. Dwayne, Chris. This time now, we'll move to item 4.2, the public hearing for the Garza vacation. And we have a public hearing that I would like to commence at 7:07 p.m. And the City Council will hear a staff report from Travis Goddard, our Community Development Director.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My name is Travis Goddard. I'm the Community Development Director for the City of Othello. And the hearing that we are here to talk about tonight is the Garza Roosevelt Avenue vacation. And thank you. The first photo here is a vicinity map of the property that we are going to be talking about. You see Roosevelt is the north-south road, and there's a large block that is going to be requested for vacation. There's also an east-west half-width right-of-way that is also part of the vacation request, and I'll get into that in a minute. As part of this vacation request, the city has the authority to require access and utility easements to replace the right-of-way that is being vacated, and the city is requesting a 20-foot right-of-way that follows the city's water line, which is currently in Roosevelt, and they're also asking for an access and utility easement to the entire east-west connector of that half-width right-of-way. It affects four property owners and multiple parcels. The three of them in this bottom part are actually Mr. Garza's property. See, it's actually three different parcels, but they are only described as two parcel numbers for tax purposes. There is a storage business on Highway 26 or on Broadway that is owned by Mr. Gomez. There are two long, skinny, what appear to be alley right-of-ways that were part of the original plat, only at some point in the past they became owned by a private property owner by the name of Jorgensen. And They are part of this. And also, there is one remaining parcel for a property owner in the name of Gary Pierce, who I attempted to contact but was not able to contact him. The other four property owners, I was able to contact them as part of this application, and they are in support of the vacation. Now, these are the pictures of the site. I am standing currently in Roosevelt Avenue looking south. You can see that the trucking business owned by Mr. Garza is in this location. There is a right-of-way in the middle of the screen outlined by that white bar that is going to be vacated once it gets on the other side of the road. And then off to the left, you see the other parcel owned by Mr. Garza. That's where the trucks are currently located on the left. This next photo is looking back. Previously, I was standing back there by that building in the middle of the road. This blue line is the imaginary line that represents the water line. There's a hydrant just at the end of that line. You can't see very well. But we're talking about vacating this right-of-way here in the middle. And this is a view from Highway 26 to the west. This is the half-width right-of-way that I had described, and you can see the school property over here to the left, and Mr. Garza's property, you can see his one truck back there behind the storage properties. But this is the right-of-way half-width that will be vacated, but which we will be retaining a access and utility easement on. So here, one more time, is an idea of the area that is going to be vacated. Now I'll give you a little background into why this is occurring. The school bus property had a condition of approval that required that the bus, or that the school district, remove and replace a portion of that right-of-way so that it could be improved to emergency vehicle access standards. But after some research and a little work on staff's part, it was determined that the compaction, because of the trucking business, exceeded the compaction that would have been necessary for the creation of a right-of-way or emergency vehicle access. And so we were essentially stuck with a situation where they were going to take out compacted land or compacted dirt and replace it with something that was less compacted and less able to bear the weight of the trucks that Mr. Garza is currently using it for. And so what we were actually getting is improvements that were likely to be less quality or less enduring than what we currently have out there. And then, of course, the problem would be, because it is a city street, that if it had to be replaced, the cost of doing those repairs would fall on the city, and we would have to come before you and request a full road, curb, gutter, and sidewalk that would replace that, because we would need to bring it up to city standards. And then, of course, Mr. Garza would then have to contend with restricting his truck maneuvering, because he'd now have to deal with curbs and gutters. He'd be breaking up the roads and the sidewalks because of his maneuvering. So in the end, we would be spending money on something that was less effective for the property owner. And in this case, because Roosevelt will never be able to extend it to the south because the bus barn is now in the way, we would never want to extend Roosevelt or redo Roosevelt if we could avoid it. So we, with the help of the Public Works Director, Terry, approached Mr. Garza and had this conversation, and we explained to him that he would be taking on the responsibility for maintaining the access with the school district, but now instead of having to go out and put on the curb, gutter, and sidewalk and the pavement, between the two of them could just work out a deal where they throw down additional gravel and maintain it as somewhat easier standard, as long as it provides emergency vehicle access that the fire district would be able to achieve. So Mr. Garza agreed that that made more sense, and he was willing to take on that responsibility. Plus, there is also going to be a small tax burden that would go along with this. It might be in terms of few dollars a year, but it's a minimal amount of property that is actually being added, and he indicated he understood that and was willing to participate in this effort. So initially we were only talking about this area here, but it still left us, sorry, I thought that was a map. Okay. So initially that would take care of this portion of the property down here on the south, the north-south connector, but it would still leave us with this east-west half width. And so staff reached out to the property owners who were adjacent to that and asked them whether they were interested in also receiving that portion of the property back. So now instead of a racetrack surrounding these properties, they would own it completely to the south property line or the south corporate limits for the city. And three of the four property owners consented. Mr. Pierce did not return either phone calls or letters. But we still have the authority to vacate that right-of-way because of he owns a small percentage of the valuation. So should you choose to do it, he would receive that property back. And it would simply be added into his property. And we are talking about a 15-foot wide strip of property that would be vacated to him. So on to the analysis part. We met on April 13th and we scheduled this hearing, and that was resolution 2015-11 authorizing this hearing for the vacation. The vacation includes both the petition right-of-way as for Roosevelt, as I discussed, but also those three properties for the east-west half-width right-of-way. And the vacated property will become part of the properties that are already zoned. So in this case, this property, which is south of block 51, will become industrial one, and the Roosevelt right-of-way and this property beneath these properties, block 52, will become commercial two district. So at this time, I'll do something that I did with our previous vacation, which was up in this block here. There were buildings constructed over multiple property lines, both on Mr. Garza's property and on the property here, the two storage buildings cross property lines. And under the Othello Municipal Code, 156-150, whenever structure is built over property lines, the code considers them to be consolidated. And the future development or redevelopment of those sites would trigger a consolidation lot or a consolidated plat. But that'll be upon future activities on those sites. So until that time, they would just need to recognize that the plat would need to be done at a future date. And so the applicable codes are RCW 3579, which is for the vacation of streets and right-of-way. Public notice has been completed in accordance with the RCWs, the Revised Codes of Washington, and the Othello Municipal Code. And again, I pointed out this last time, and that is the city may require compensation for vacated right-of-way. This property does qualify for that, but staff is not recommending compensation be requested given that the city is initiating this to help out the school district. So it seems unfair that the city initiate something and make them pay for it. But that is ultimately up to you. And the staff recommendation is approval of the vacation subject to Section 7 of the ordinance, which notifies the applicant that in the future, should they build, add on, or redevelop the property, that it would need to be brought up to current city codes. Any additional questions?
So this is mainly a second means of access for the fire department, or, you know, just in case that other road's blocked, right? That area right there, if it's a wet winter, gets very, very soft. So if we're going to get a heavy truck through there, loaded with water, it might not make it through. So what specifications are going to be required to put down, you know, to make sure that don't happen?
So the emergency vehicle access requires that the road be compacted to support the weight of emergency vehicles, which from my understanding is 55,000 gross vehicle weight. The current compaction of the right-of-way is higher than that. And then there was some discussion about the fact that removal and replacement is likely to break through the clay layer, and that subsurface water would surface to, or would come to the surface because they punctured the clay layer. Apparently that's what happened in the bus barn area, and part of that problem was because they did that initial work. So part of it is we're hedging our bet by avoiding those efforts if they're not necessary. But ultimately, the school district and Mr. Garza would be able to work out to put additional topping down there without the city's involvement or the replacement of that road.
So you're saying that the compaction met the requirement currently now?
Yes.
Yeah, but it's been dry. It's been a dry season.
Yes.
So.
Travis, don't forget that we had a company come out and actually test it, do core samplings, and we asked them about, you know, wet. If it was wet, how much it would support, and they certified that it would support a fire vehicle.
I can understand that happening right now because it's been dry, but actually, Garza is one of my best friends, and I've been in and out of there, I mean, hundreds of times in the winter. Not in the dead winter, but during the fall, because he shuts down for the winter. Mm-hmm. But in wet seasons, it's been to where he gets 4 or 5 inches deep. So we just want to make sure that it's going to be done right in case there's some trucks that need to go in there during that time.
Yes, and ultimately, the requirement to maintain their emergency vehicle access would fall on the school district, and it would be their responsibility to ensure that their access meets the fire chief's concerns.
Yeah, because to my understanding, I think once when the school started building that building there, they hit something. They didn't hit, I mean, they hit a table of water or whatever, it poured out, and they've been putting massive gravel there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one thing they want to make sure, if we're going to build that road, to build it right. Because I'm a witness of what can happen in a wet season, especially, you know, your fall and your spring.
Yes.
So that falls on the school, or does that fall?
Ultimately, the school is responsible for providing the emergency vehicle access. Mr. Garza has direct access to Park Street, so technically it is not his emergency vehicle access. However, the fire chief is going to be talking to both of them about maintaining that access in the case of an emergency. So the fire chief might be dealing with both, but ultimately it's the school's responsibility to provide that emergency vehicle access. So that's not a perfectly clear answer. Well, I should say it may not be an acceptable answer, but it's clear who the responsibility falls on.
So you're saying the school district's going to have an agreement with Mr. Garza to maintain what we're vacating as a access?
We are maintaining a 20-foot access and utility easement, which currently has the water line, and they recently installed a gas line. They relocated it so that it falls within our easement because they know we are vacating the right-of-way. If the school district can keep their trucks within the, and I'll back up so you can see the pictures. If they could keep their trucks within that alignment, they would theoretically be okay, but they may need a separate access and utility easement because, sorry, I didn't include a really good picture of this. You can see back there that they have some maneuvering areas that include curbs for directing their traffic, and it is not perfectly in line with the 20-foot access easement that we are retaining. So it's a little offset to the left. Sorry, I didn't include that photo, and I should have. I apologize. Yeah. So it's a little bit offset there. You can kind of see it in the background there to the left. So they are going to have to work with Mr. Garza. If they can't get their trucks out directly above our easement, they would need to acquire an easement from Mr. Garza and maintain that.
So the easement is going to be a 20-foot, or is it going to be 20 or 40? Because then the city is going to maintain 20 feet of it?
Yes, 10 foot on either side of the existing sewer line. So it'll be 20 feet total.
And the driving part is going to be on the east side of it? Because if you're going to go 10 feet on each side, then that means your water's in the middle. Obviously, are we going to be driving right on it? Is that the plan?
Yes.
Is that where the road's going to be?
Yes. So there's a hydrant at the end, so theoretically they're going to need to jog around that, which leads me to believe that they are probably going to need to acquire an additional 10-foot easement from Mr. Garza to make sure.
So is the water already up to the bus garage yet? Is it across Garza's
property? Yes. It already goes across, and they have hydrants that have been tested, but I don't believe that we have accepted the water line yet. They have not completed their plat, so I know that the water line is in the ground, and I know it has been pressure tested and the bacteria tested. We just have not accepted that through the city council yet.
So what's going to be the indication? I know you're going to have a gate. Obviously, fire truck knows where to go in through, but what's going to be the indication of where he's got to drive through to make sure that's from ground? Because if you see right now, you can't, I mean, you can drive through wherever you want, and right now being dry, it's okay. But I keep coming back to that, because I've been there in wet season. The water table's pretty high, and it does get very, very soft. So what's the indication of where they're gonna drive through? Is it gonna be graveled up a little higher? Is it gonna?
You know, that's a good question. I don't think that we had explored that, but I can talk to Mr. Garza and figure out how he wants to do that. It's currently all maneuvering area, both east-west and north-south, so I don't think it's defined yet. One thing that we could maybe work out with the school district prior to the execution of the vacation is that they put down a 20-foot
because if you go back to that picture where you had, go back some more, please. Right there? No, back some more. I want to get that back part over to the south, the north side. Right there. You see where that gravel's at? You see the ruts in the side? Well, they put that gravel there because there's many cars have been going through, their trucks go through there in the wet season. And let me tell you, that gets deep right there. That's why that gravel's there.
Yeah.
Been packing it in there. Just, you know, that's one of my concerns. I just want to make sure it gets done right if it's going to be a second means of access.
Sure. Yeah.
Council, any other questions? Travis? Okay, at this time, it's 7:28 p.m., I'd like to open public testimony. With regard to this vacation, is there anyone in the public who would like to speak in support, neutral to the proposal, or in opposition of this proposal? Okay. Hearing none, I would like to close the public testimony at this time. And council, is there any additional information you'd like to have before we move on to the ordinance? Council has on item 4.3 on our agenda an ordinance to vacate an alley right-of-way. Council member Angel Garza raised some questions which were answered by staff. Is there any further reason tonight that we shouldn't go forward with this vacation?
time, I entertain a motion to approve the vacation of the right-of-way, this ordinance, authorizing the mayor to sign this ordinance.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
We have a motion made and seconded to approve vacating of an alley right-of-way. Is there any further discussion? Questions? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you. Thank you, Travis, council. This time, we're going to move to item 4.4. Oh, excuse me. I need to close the public hearing, 7:30 p.m. And we'll move to item 4.4, public hearing on the moratorium prohibiting marijuana production, processing, and retail sales of marijuana gardens in Othello. And at this time, I'd like to open the public hearing at 7:31 p.m. And we have a presentation from Kelly, our city attorney, Kelly Conkright. Kelly?
Thank you, Mayor, City Council. So, if you may recall, back in December of 2014, the council approved a moratorium on zoning for medical marijuana as well as recreational marijuana. Part of that consideration was that there was pending legislation, pending litigation regarding the city's authority to be able to zone those uses and the extent of the zoning the city could enact, as well as a lack of information from the Liquor Control Board, now the Liquor Cannabis Board, on the secondary impacts of retail and medical marijuana establishments, collective gardens, production facilities on the community. There has been some clarification since then where that was, well, first, before I move on to that, that was a six-month moratorium, so that is up in June, towards the beginning of June, I believe June 7th of 2015. And so we're having this hearing for the city council to get additional information and consider renewing that six-month moratorium and get a direction on how city council wants to move forward. So I'll give an update to the city council on what has happened in the with the litigation on bans for medical marijuana and recreational marijuana. Actually, Thursday last week, the Supreme Court issued a decision in the Cannabis Action Coalition versus City of Kent lawsuit. That had been pending for quite some time, had gone, of course, to the Superior Court, up to the Court of Appeals, then to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court issued a decision very clearly upholding the municipality's ability to ban through zoning collective gardens. And so and they used very, very wide reasoning. There was only one dissenting opinion, so it was a majority, definitely a clear majority opinion of the court. That reasoning could be applied to recreational marijuana zoning as well. But that is still an open book. They are two different statutes, two different initiatives that have different language on the state law preemption of municipal ordinances. What else we've had since then, though, with collective gardens, is they're soon going to be obsolete. July 1st, 2016, there'll be no such thing as a collective garden. At the end of April of this year, the state legislature passed a very comprehensive ordinance clarifying regulation, state regulation of medicinal marijuana and how it's grown and how it's distributed. And they are, that legislation, effective July 1st, 2016, abolishes collective gardens and replaces them with cooperatives. And the cooperatives can exist in basically anybody's residence. It can be up to four people. With the feature of that, which is different from the collective gardens, is that that is controlled, licensed and regulated through the Liquor Cannabis Board. So much like your retail establishments, those will come under the jurisdiction of that board. The open question on that is the extent to which this new law, which nobody's really had much of a chance to look at, will limit this council's ability to be able to to regulate the extent to which the council can regulate zoning of cooperatives and other things. And I don't know that yet. There's a lot to look at in that law. It's a new law just signed in. And so that's going to take some time to look at, but I believe that's going to be resolved. My initial look at it, I don't think that it's going to change the analysis of the Supreme Court and the Kent case. So I do think that the council is going to be able to have very extensive zoning authority over cooperatives, just as it did with the collective gardens. And the reason I say, part of the reason I say that is because of what we've been seeing in the courts with upholding the city's authority to be able to regulate through zoning very extensively, to the extent of banning recreational marijuana, so recreational marijuana retailers. There's been 5 cases decided at the Superior Court level, which have all upheld the city's authority and not relying on federal law, which is pretty important, because that keeps the feds and keeps the ACLU out of the argument. But just on state law principles, upholding the city's authority under Initiative 502, which is the Retail Marijuana Initiative, to regulate, as I said, very extensively, retail marijuana retailers. Those have not been challenged as of yet. I was not able to find, I actually spoke to the Court of Appeals last week and today to try and find updates on cases that had been appealed, most particularly the City of Fife. Court of Appeals at this time says they don't have any record of an appeal of this decision in the City of Fife, which is surprising to me, because I had previously been under the understanding that there was an ongoing appeal. What happened to that, I don't know. I don't know if it was dismissed or but there certainly was no decision issued in that case. So as it stands, 5 Superior Court decisions all upholding the Attorney General's opinion issued in January of 2014, that cities have the authority to zone to the extent of banning retail recreational marijuana dealers. So I think at this time, I think it would be prudent for City Council to extend the 6-month moratorium to give the council time to look at, we'll first give staff direction, a debate, and give staff direction on where they want to go with ordinances to regulate medicinal marijuana as well as recreational marijuana in Othello, and study the secondary impacts. And it'll get 6 months, which should give the City Council enough breathing room, given the direction we have from the courts and the legislature on how to regulate that. And I'm certainly happy to answer any questions anybody has.
Thank you, Kelly. Council? Any direction? Not at this time.
Well, and we could certainly get, as far as today, the issue is limited to do we extend the 6-month moratorium or not. And then we can certainly have another agenda item in the future, which I think would be appropriate to debate, or not debate, but to get direction on what the City Council would like to do. There are municipalities that have taken action on both medicinal marijuana and recreational. And we can certainly look at what others have done. What I would focus on is looking at what other municipalities have done and which have been upheld by the courts, because those have already been challenged and they're obviously defendable. So I think we could take a look at that. But today is, of course, should we extend the 6-month moratorium or not?
Okay. This time I'd like to open public testimony at 7:38 p.m. for any member of the public who would like to address the council in support, neutral to our proposal, or those in opposition. Okay, seeing none. Is there anything further from the council? And at 7:39 p.m., I'd like to close this public hearing. And entertain a motion as suggested or advice given by our legal counsel to extend this moratorium another 6 months for further study and input.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
We have a motion made and second. Is there further discussion?
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you. Thank you, Kelly. Okay, item 4.5. We have an opening on the Othello Planning Commission, and we have received information and application from Brian Gentry to fill that vacancy left by Rex Robbins, who's moving to Oregon. And so at this time then, as the mayor, I'll appoint, I'd like to appoint, is that with council approval? Debbie? By the council, okay. For Brian Gentry to the Planning Commission. He's been participating with us, been at most of the meetings for the comprehensive plan update, so he's kind of up to speed on what we're doing. So feel like with Brian's background, his history of knowing the city in real estate and in planning and zoning things, I think he'd be a good member of the council. So what I need tonight is, do I need a vote or a consensus? Fine. Or
a motion to confirm.
Okay, a motion to confirm.
I'll make that motion.
Okay, we have a motion made and second, appointing Brian Gentry to the Othello Planning Commission. Is there any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Another appointment is we have an opening to the Independent Salary Committee. Tim O'Monomer was has resigned. The Independent Salary Committee, as you recall, is the one who sets the elected official salary for the city of Othello. That happens to be us sitting around this dais. And so I've had a number of different interactions over the last several years with Maria Quesada. She's the assistant manager of Columbia Bank, and I believe she would make a very good appointment to the Independent Salary Committee. So at this time, I would entertain a motion to confirm her appointment to this Independent Salary Committee.
Make that motion.
I'll second it.
Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Moving on to item 4.7. This next Monday, June 1st, is our regularly scheduled City Council workshop. I think Kelly's suggestion that we maybe do some study, Kelly, of what has happened in other cities with regard to marijuana, their the court cases, and the directions that they have gone in that have been upheld. I think, I don't know if June 1 is adequate time for you to prepare for something like that. Maybe we could plan that for the first council meeting in July.
Yeah, I would prefer for July. June 1st would be, you know, this Monday.
Yeah.
It would be a difficult time frame for me to meet.
Yes.
Certainly be able to do a better job and have something more thorough for you for the city council. July.
I think the council would appreciate that. And having full current agenda items among the staff and the mayor. I would like to float the idea that we cancel our June 1 workshop next Monday. Is there any objection from the council? Debbie, what do we need? Motion?
Council's consensus, I think, would be fine.
Okay.
I know that we need motion. I mean, you never go wrong with the motion, but consensus would be fine.
Do we have a consent of the council?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So we'll begin our June workshop. Would you notify the new? Okay, moving on to item 5, unfinished business. Wade, you had some on well 6, well 9.
Yeah, I'd like to give council an update on the wells. As you know, we had an issue with well 3. Went in, pulled the pipe, replaced the shaft, worked 5 days, went down again. They went in and replaced 5 shafts. There's still some vibration, but it's operating okay now. So they demobilized off 3 and went back to well 6. So well 6, they are putting the pipe back, and they got this in. And ETA on getting well six back in operation will be early next week, hopefully by Monday. Get well six in the ground. Once they do that, they've got Snyder in town. Since they supposedly fixed well three, we'd like to remobilize it back on well three and get that thing. That's what we'd like to do with them in town. We're not sure what's warranty and what's not. The bottom line is it needs to be fixed and fixed right before they leave town. I think you guys all agree on that. So that's the status of those two wells. Well nine, good news, the liner is, that's in place. Now we're working on finishing up the design for the pump house. We're kind of going to get order for that. And with those, that's in progress. We're looking at ETA on that sometime, hopefully early July. And that's a sliding ETIC, as we used to say in the military, estimated time commission. For that well, I'll keep you guys updated as that develops. Hopefully an update about once every couple of weeks as we do a council meeting on well nine. Okay.
Can you wait?
Yep.
Is there any other unfinished business to come before the council tonight?
I just got a question on how are we coming on 14th Avenue? That was supposed to go out for bid a couple times. That seemed
like. Yeah, on 14th Avenue, we are, they are still reviewing the plans, which are, you know, that thick. The other piece we're working on from Travis's side, my side, is working on the completing the right of ways and getting the agreements for the contribution for from the property owners on that. We've had a couple meetings the last week or so on that. That part's coming along pretty well, with possibly one exception. We'll have more on that here in the next couple of weeks, but that's where we are, most part. As soon as we get ready to go out to bid, I will let you guys know either via email or this meeting. So
I think we need to take a serious consideration to that, because this should have been out to bid about 3-4 months ago.
Agreed.
The later we go out, the more it's going to cost us extra in that project. If we go out to bid in the next couple of months, I believe that could cost us $500,000 more than what it potentially should have been. So we need to seriously consider taking a look at that, see what our time period is, because even if it goes out to bid in July, we're going to be pushing our time, because that's a complete street reconstruction.
And to that, Ken, we did some research to make sure that we wouldn't, that the grant money wouldn't be in jeopardy. It would not. We have to go ahead with First Avenue, however, and that's, we have to get that done, because that's a not a refurbishment, but the redoing. I'm struggling with the right word here. Anyway, the language is we have to get First Avenue done, and that's about 343,000 of that grant money. That has to be done one way or the other. 14th, however, we can go out till 2017. Is that correct on that? So we have that option. If council wants us to go that direction, I would say let's see where we are with it to go out for bid. If we can't go out for bid in the next week or two, I would say you're probably not a bad idea. We don't want to drag it out, but I think in order to save the city some money, it may be the best course of action. So
I think giving a little bit more time might give us a little more time to work out accesses onto 14th Avenue too.
If council's in agreement, what we'll do then, if we want to make that decision before the next council meeting in June, we can meet with the street committee and get their consensus and go with that, and of course with the mayor. If that's, because it doesn't require council's approval to do this, we just need to do it. But I'd like to get more than just my okay and Travis and Terry's okay. So what we'd like to do is probably get the street committee together and discuss it if we want to go down that road, unless you guys want to go a different direction.
Now the bad part about not having it out already is school's about to get out, and we're going to pass the time when school starts again.
Yeah.
And then we're going to do another project when school's on that. It's not going to work very good.
Right. That was another consideration, too.
You know, the interesting part about that is I saw that coming in February, and Wade and I and Terry have repeatedly gone back to the engineering firm to get this done. They have their reasons that they haven't, and so here we are almost a week away from June, and we still haven't even got prints. So it's extremely frustrating for the business of this city
to drag out like that. And we have discussed a number of different steps that maybe we could begin to take, none of which at this point I want to make public, but we are frustrated at the least. And I think that from the city standpoint, from our public works department, from Wade, through, you know, with Travis, there was just a lot of details of this 14th Avenue project that have been left to the very end that should have been being worked on over the last year. And I don't think anybody here on the street committee or in the city realized how much of it was being left to the very end. And so now, when you begin to realize that, now you understand why we're almost to June 1st, when we were supposed to have had that work done and gone to bid before the end of last year. So, yeah, it's just not gone the way we wanted it to. And Ken's comment about trying to do it now and go to bid now, well, everybody is full, their plates are all full of work. If they're going to add additional work, it's going to cost the city more money. I think we all know that intuitively. So I think I'm just stating the obvious, but we might be in the best interest of the city to not go to bid until later this year.
Well, the council's consensus then, what we'll do is just go back and double check that there's no other cost implication to the city, or we're not in any danger of losing that grant for sure. Well, I just would feel better to ask the question one more time just to make sure we got it exactly right. And if that's the case, the council is, the consensus is we can put it off. I mean, that'll give us some more time to get some of the other stuff squared away with some of the couple of property owners. So that, again, that's up to you all, Mayor.
I hate to keep putting it off, but I don't see how we can do this project while school's in. There's just way too much traffic there, and I mean, even when school's out, there's a lot of traffic.
It's not just in front of one school; it's going to affect 2-3 schools.
Like, yeah,
it just is not a good plan.
Okay. So if we, I mean, if that grant can carry over till next year, then
double and triple check it.
Okay, well, we'll double check it. I'll send out an email, or Travis or I will, to let you guys know what we found out. And if it's okay, then we'll just make a decision then to do that.
Wait. I have an email from the Department of Commerce that assures us that money for the next few years. Okay. It's at least 2 or 3 years.
That's all we want to see.
And I have the email. I can forward it to you.
Sure. Okay. I just want to make sure there's no other implications either that will cost the city money. I can't tell you what those would be right now, but I would like to just double check.
No, I got a question on those monies. Part of those monies were for engineering, and Grant Osborne's been paid for the last 2 years doing work on that. Mm-hmm. Are we collecting those monies already from the Department of Commerce? Do we?
Yes. Yes. We're receiving 80% of the expenses that we incur on that project. It's a 20% match. And I off the top of my head tonight, I can't remember the breakout between engineering and construction costs, but I will get those for you also.
I would also like to know how much Grant Osborne has been paid on the project already. I noticed we had another $39,000 go out last month for it.
Yeah, we can put that together.
Yeah, we've got that.
Okay, council, is there any other unfinished business? Thank you, Wade.
I'd kind of like to have us start looking into Travis and Wade, First Street and 26 there, in between those businesses where those semis are going through. That thing is coming apart in a hurry. I don't know if y'all have seen First Street, right where it does the 26 there, that stretch right there.
First Avenue.
First Avenue, I'm sorry, First Avenue. It's, that street is just crumbling. Crumbling is getting really bad. See if there's any type of grants out there. Maybe going back to Washington, since they forced us to run all the semis through there, something or another.
You know, our original plan, as I understand it, when I got here, as we started, we're talking about this, is that's what we're going to do first, as opposed to the north end of First Avenue. And somehow, our engineering firm, it got boxed up the other way. For some reason, they went the other way, and I don't know why. But yeah, we can definitely go out and look for grants for that.
To me, I believe we should go after the state too, because the state turned that into the part of their highway system to reroute traffic from 26 to 24. So
they should pitch in to part of that.
Right. We pitched in to have that done. The city did. Yeah, I think what we need to do, if the street committee, who is the street committee? You on the street committee tomorrow?
Water and sewer, I'm on the streets.
Who else is on the street committee?
I think
John and Gina. And I'm an alternate.
Okay, you three. Maybe what we could do is schedule a meeting with the engineering firm and start talking about, and staff, and start talking about areas of the city that we could begin to start applying for grant monies to assist us with getting some of this street issues and
I just want to ask our attorney a question too. Didn't Airway Heights have a similar problem where the state turned part of Airway Heights Main Street into the part of the highway system, and Airway Heights went after them to help contribute?
I'm not familiar with that. I don't know one way or the other. I can certainly, I know who the city attorney is for Airway Heights, and I can certainly reach out to him and get what information he has on that.
Okay, thank you. Any other unfinished business? Moving on to item 6, is there any new business to come before City Council? Any information Council would like staff to research? Okay, I would like to make one announcement. Adams County Pet Rescue and the city are hosting a vaccination clinic this Saturday. That will be out in front of City Hall. It'll be from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. And so this is where citizens can bring their dogs and get free vaccinations. So it's a really nice event. There was over 100 people attended, or 100 animals were brought in the first hour last year. 65 dog licenses were issued. So it was a good event. And that's again this Saturday. Moving on to item 7, executive session. I'd like to, at this time, at 7:58 p.m., adjourn the council to go into executive session to discuss with legal counsel relating to potential litigation. And afterwards, I would anticipate that the council will take some action on one of the items that we're going to discuss. So I would anticipate we're going to need approximately 15 minutes. So at this time, would the staff please prepare the council chambers for executive session. Okay, the council is now back in session at 8:25 p.m. and there will be no action taken by the city council tonight. Moving on to item 8, council will also receive 8.1 department heads April reports. And having no further business to come before the Othello City Council, I will adjourn tonight's meeting at 8:25 p.m.